These places are devastated. They're described as a moonscape, and you might have seen some photos of that.
Aid arrives in Tonga. It's Friday, January 21st. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, a presidential COVID battle, delivering vaccines to the needy, turning back Asian textiles, the right to vote, teaching trapeze. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The first aid flight has landed in Tonga after an undersea volcano triggered devastating tsunami waves. A New Zealand military Hercules brought water containers, temporary shelters, and generators on Thursday. Australian planes are also delivering essential supplies, as we hear more from Phil Mercer in Sydney.
So far, just three fatalities have been reported after Saturday's disaster in Tonga, a South Pacific archipelago that lies about two-thirds of the way from Hawaii to New Zealand. The damage to property and infrastructure is reported to be immense, though. Aerial pictures taken by the New Zealand Air Force show several villages have been wiped out on some islands. Hundreds of volunteers and members of the Tongan Defence Force have been clearing ash and other debris from the runway at the main airport, allowing international aid to arrive. A New Zealand Hercules was the first to arrive. Satellite communications have been restored, but other telephone and internet networks could take up to a month to repair because of damage to an undersea communications cable. Rachel Moore is Australia's High Commissioner to Tonga. Speaking from the archipelago, she gave an assessment of the impact of the disaster to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation.
These places are devastated. They're described as a moonscape, and you might have seen some photos of that. So the fact that the Tongan government was able to support the people and the Tongan people knew what to do in the case of a tsunami has meant that the loss of life and the number of serious injuries is small, but the loss to property is catastrophic.
Two New Zealand Navy ships are due to arrive Friday, carrying water and other essential supplies, as well as engineers and helicopters. Distributing supplies is further complicated by the need to maintain COVID-19 protocols. Tonga has recorded just a single case of coronavirus. Tongan and New Zealand officials have been working out how foreign assistance can be delivered in a contactless way. Tonga has an estimated population of 100,000. There are large expatriate communities in Australia and New Zealand. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
The story continues to develop. You can follow it with us online at Twitter, Facebook, and voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. North Korea hints at new nuclear ICBM tests. North Korea expands China trade, but wider pandemic approach unclear. Myanmar Muslims on edge as ethnic group bids for power in Rakhine State. A report says China's worldwide dragnet forces fugitives to return home. Security scanners across Europe tied to China government and military. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more by visiting us online. You'll find us at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and check out our website, voanews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. It has been a year since U.S. President Joe Biden took the oath of office on the steps of the U.S. Capitol. He inherited a global coronavirus pandemic that from the campaign trail he promised to end. VOA's Arash Arabisadi reports on his handling of the pandemic so far.
Joe Biden campaigned on ending the pandemic. Now, 1 year into his presidency, the pandemic is rolling into its third year.
The president is really succeeding on the global response through direct commitments from the United States to countries in need in terms of doses, in terms of dollars, in terms of cooperation.
What hasn't happened, says One Campaign's Tom Hart, is bigger buy-in from Biden's counterparts.
Where they are not yet succeeding is providing the leadership to gather other countries together in a unified campaign to end the pandemic. What's happening is wealthy countries are making individual commitments and they sound good, but the parts are not adding up to the whole.
As COVID cases skyrocketed due to the Omicron variant, January marked the first time that polls showed more Americans disapproving of Biden's handling of the pandemic.
I think the Biden administration overall has done well when it put its mind to it. So I think they get an A minus, B plus. However, the issue is oftentimes some of their policies have over-relied on vaccine-only approach.
Epidemiologist Eric Feigl-Ding says the Biden administration could have done more to combat misinformation and to ensure that emergency funding for schools upgraded ventilation systems. He faults the Biden administration for not providing home COVID tests and N95 masks for free or at cost after the president recently announced an insurance-based reimbursement program.
Altogether, this is a pandemic of political leadership as well as the virus, as well as human behavior and politics around the human behavior. So the Biden administration is not in control of every aspect of those, especially the misinformation. But this is all the more important, and it reveals that the pandemic is not just solely a biological phenomenon. It is an information phenomenon.
Critics say the Biden administration must do more on the global stage as well as at home to get more vaccines to more people and convince the vaccine hesitant to come on board. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, hope for the needy when it comes to vaccines. Happening now in Asia, the French Parliament has passed a non-binding motion urging French authorities to condemn Beijing, citing crimes against humanity and genocide against the Uyghur Muslim minority in China's Xinjiang province. The Chinese embassy in France called the move absurd and said it would harm relations with France. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's the end of the week. We're glad you're with us on VOA Asia. While nearly 9.5 billion doses of COVID-19 vaccine have been administered across the planet, less than 10% of low-income countries have received a dose. But that's about to change. VOA's Jessica Stone reports that India will be at the center of the solution.
It's called Corbevax, and it's expected to be available beginning in February, courtesy of mega medical manufacturer Biological E Limited, based in southern India. India's health minister announced its emergency approval in December. By then, Dr. Maria Elena Batazzi and Dr. Peter Hortez, co-directors of the Texas Children's Vaccine Center in Houston, Texas, had been working with BioE for nearly 2 years to create the vaccine using existing technology.
What this new vaccine technology brings to the table is the large quantity of production that we can produce, right? You know, we're talking Biological E in India already mentioned they could do 100 million doses a month. It can raise a little bit the confidence of using this type of vaccine because this is a conventional technology.
New Delhi has already ordered 300 million doses. Manufacturers in Indonesia, Bangladesh, and parts of Africa are also in discussions to produce Corbevax. Dr. Elizabeth Mack leads the Pediatric Critical Care Unit at the Medical University of South Carolina.
There haven't been diseases of this proportion that were controlled outside of vaccination efforts. So certainly really excited.
Public health officials say immunizing more people with a more effective vaccine is critical to preventing additional variants from developing. Dr. Maria Van Kerkhove of the World Health Organization.
So it is very unlikely that Omicron will be the last variant you'll hear us speaking about. This is why it is so critical that we focus on getting vulnerable populations around the world vaccinated and that we increase vaccination coverage in all countries.
Millions across the developing world have received China's Sinovac or Sinopharm vaccine. Both have proven to be less effective against the Delta variant and Omicron. Dr. Battazzi says Corbevax could provide more long-lasting protection.
I think it can fill that gap because we're already seeing that individuals who participated early in 2020, they are being followed many months later. They still have a very durable immune response.
Still, Corbevax has drawbacks of its own. It can't be modified as quickly as mRNA vaccines, and just like existing vaccines, it will not prevent COVID-19 disease completely or its spread. It also has yet to be approved by the World Health Organization for distribution through the Global Vaccine Initiative, COVAX. But with each step towards more jabs and more arms, public health officials say we will be closer to a world with more immunity against COVID-19, no matter where you live. Jessica Stone, VOA News, Washington.
Be sure to read and see more on this story by joining us at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Police in Pakistan's second largest city, Lahore, said a bomb explosion in a busy central marketplace killed at least two people and injured at least 29 others. The blast, caused by a planted device, happened in a bazaar known for selling Indian goods. You'll find this and all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We have much more on VOA Asia. Right now, decades of world dependence on Asian textile manufacturing, especially in China, have been disrupted by delays and rising freight costs because of the pandemic. This is forcing some companies in Spain to rethink their production setups, and that means bringing jobs home for the first time in decades. Alfonso Beato in Barcelona filed this report, narrated by John Spear.
Sewing machines arriving at Francisco Menchu's textile workshop. This small factory in the province of Barcelona has been growing rapidly since it started sewing masks in the middle of the pandemic. Some customers have placed orders in China, but are now looking for workshops like this at home. Menchu and his family arrived 3 years ago from Guatemala, and here they are embroidering their future.
We have increased production, so we need more machinery to be able to fulfill the production demands that we now have.
The logistics centers of major fashion retailers like this one from Inditex receive orders from thousands of factories, most of them from Asia. But delays and rising freight rates are putting clothing brands in a bind.
Because most of the companies have the orders made there, but the goods are not arriving. They cannot put the products in the shops. So this is a huge problem for all these companies.
Igualada, a small town 60 kilometers from Barcelona, made world headlines last year as one of the early COVID hotspots, among the first in Spain to lock down. The town has a long tradition in the textile industry, but two decades ago, outsourcing took production away to China.
Most of the most important fashion companies now are from Spain, like the big groups as Inditex, Mango. But back in 2000, all these big companies and also the small and medium companies went to buy the products in China.
Sita Mert is a well-known brand created by a family with a long tradition of textile manufacturing in Igualada. After seeing years of downturn in the local industry, Montserrat made a bet by buying the firm, returning production to Spain despite the lack of specialized machinery and workforce.
I really believe that the brands that bet for the local production and for the things well done in our country, and they can have a bright future.
New commitments for sustainability, workers' rights and reduced pollution are now a brand value. The return of more textile production from Asia presents an opportunity for Spain and other parts of Europe, but also Morocco. But policymakers also must be on board, say analysts.
Active policies are needed for this to happen. For example, Europe must be willing to reindustrialize Europe.
Igualada was among the first towns in Europe to be devastated by the COVID pandemic. Now its people hope to be among the first to see the region's rebirth and recovery, and one that could be lasting as jobs return from Asia. For Alfonso Beato in Igualada, Spain, John Spear, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia, an aid flight landed in Tonga Thursday, the first since an undersea volcano triggered devastating tsunami waves. So far, just three fatalities have been reported after Saturday's disaster. The damage to property and infrastructure is reported to be immense. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, voting legislation that Democrats and civil rights groups here in the United States argued is vital to protecting democracy collapsed late Wednesday when two senators refused to join their own party in changing Senate rules to overcome a Republican filibuster. U.S. President Joe Biden and Democratic lawmakers had maneuvered to alter the Senate rules to allow for debate on the key voting rights legislation that has been blocked for months by Republicans. The showdown was the culmination of a fierce debate over the democratic process. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
A final plea from the President of the United States. Joe Biden on Capitol Hill Thursday, making the case one more time for passage of a major voting rights bill.
As long as I have a breath in me, as long as I'm in the White House, as long as I'm engaged at all, I'm going to be fighting.
After months of failed attempts to pass the legislation in an evenly divided Senate, Biden encouraged Democrats to break the filibuster, a major rules change bypassing Republicans to open up the opportunity for debate.
This is a historic chance to save our democracy, need to protect the fundamental form of American government. And his view is this should absolutely be bipartisan.
But the White House failed to convince Senator Kyrsten Sinema, who is the key Democratic vote needed for that change.
Eliminating the 60-vote threshold will simply guarantee that we lose a critical tool that we need to safeguard our democracy from threats in the years to come. It is clear that the two-party strategies are not working, not for either side, and especially not for the country.
Sinema's argument for compromise puts her in the company of Republicans, who argue breaking those Senate rules would be harmful to American democracy and repeatedly have blocked any attempts to debate voting rights.
President Biden, Senate Democrats have been shouting, actually shouting at the American people that an evil, racist, anti-voting conspiracy will destroy democracy forever unless Democrats get total one-party control of the entire government starting next week.
But Democrats say this legislation comes at a crucial moment for the United States, as it would expand access to the ballot box for minorities, including African Americans, who have faced decades of discrimination and barriers to voting.
If there was ever a power grab, it's what's happening in the state legislatures right now, where Republican legislators are taking away people's sacred right to vote and aiming it particularly at certain groups, people of color, young people, people in urban areas, older people, disabled people.
A variety of polls show many Americans broadly support the ideas in the voting rights legislation, but are divided along partisan lines when it comes to ending the filibuster. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
U.S.-based telecommunication companies AT&T and Verizon delayed launching new wireless service near key airports after the nation's largest airlines said the service would interfere with aircraft technology and cause massive flight disruptions. The decision from the telecommunication companies came as the Biden administration tried to broker a settlement between the telecom companies and the airlines over a rollout of new 5G service that began Wednesday. Jen Psaki is the White House press secretary.
What we're focused on is trying to come to a solution that will minimize disruptions to passenger travel, cargo operations, and our economic recovery. And that is why it's so important to hopefully come to an agreement and ensure more planes are flying.
Airlines want the new service to be banned within 3 kilometers of airport runways, claiming the 5G network interferes with the device pilots use to help them land the plane when visibility is poor. AT&T and Verizon say their equipment will not interfere with aircraft electronics and that the technology is being safely used in many other countries. U.S. President Joe Biden said the agreements by AT&T and Verizon will avoid potentially devastating disruptions to passenger travel, cargo operations, and the economic recovery, while allowing more than 90% of wireless tower deployment to occur as scheduled. He said the administration will keep working with both sides to reach a permanent solution around key airports. Here in Washington, D.C., whether you're looking to fly through the air with the greatest of ease, explore the aerial arts, or just raise your spirits, the Trapeze School in Washington will make sure that things are looking up. Maxim Moskalkov visited the school and met with many of its instructors.
Flying trapeze and trampoline jumping, Spanish web and juggling, aerial arts and lyra. The Trapeze School in Washington, the only such venue in the capital, is happy to work with anyone, regardless of athletic background, fitness level, or age.
In D.C., we have a lot of people who are doing circus recreationally. They're not necessarily aiming to become professionals.
But even though most students at the Trapeze School are here for fun, they keep coming back to learn more.
Circus and aerial arts, trampoline, flying trapeze, all of it is about learning something new and finding joy in learning something new.
The youngest student at the Trapeze School is only 6 years old, the oldest over 80. And seeing older people on a flying trapeze here is not at all a rare occasion.
Someone might say, come to class and say, oh, I could never do that. I could never hang from my knees on the trapeze. I could never do a backflip. I've never done one in my life. And the really interesting thing about trapeze is that people very regularly exceed their own expectations.
Flying trapeze doesn't require any specific preparation. Even if a student has never been to a gym, they can come here and do great, say the school instructors.
Well, apart from staying fit, staying busy, staying active and engaged and entertained, trapeze is a great way to build skills for other areas in your life, be it listening and following directions and instructions. It helps with other skills as well as hand-eye coordination and any other things that you might be doing, like diving, dancing. The list goes on.
For over a year, the Trapeze School has been working together with a nonprofit called Serve Your City, which helps children from low-income families. These kids can get free lessons at the Trapeze School. Washington resident Joy Berth brings her children, Jolia and Josiah, here on a regular basis.
This class taught me about body control, balance, and relaxing my body. I learned how to go up in the air. I could jump higher on the trampoline. And it's a really fun experience because, like, I really like to go on trampoline.
Jana Cohen says the school plans to develop its charity initiatives even further to make flying trapeze and aerial arts available to as many people as possible. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
That's our program for today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. Continue online. You'll find us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We also thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jessica Stone. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.